got started in that section.
So tonight, I want to try and do something a little bit different. It was just what spoke to me in this week's Kuntres. In the back of the Kuntres, over the last 30 weeks, 40 weeks or so, is something called Shirim B'Sefer HaKadosh Toras Chacham. Now, we'll just start off with a little bit about who the Toras Chacham was and why the Rebbe's Beis Medrash is called Toras Chacham. The Toras Chacham was Rav Chaim de la Rosa. Rav Chaim de la Rosa was the Talmud Mufak of Rabbeinu HaRashash, Rav Shalom Sharabi, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivat Beit El, after having been a shamish of sorts in the Beis Medrash. Rav Chaim de la Rosa was the Ziknei HaTalmidim, was the greatest of the Talmidim. The only reason that he wasn't officially Rosh Yeshiva is because the Rosh Yeshiva needed to be able to daven for the Amid. That was Bederach Klal, what the Sfaradik Mekubalim did, right? To be a Shliach Sibor was the main role, to be Mechavein and to do the Avodah. But the Toras Chacham, either because of his impoverishment or his weakness, he was unable to take on that role, so he never took on an official role as the Shliach Sibor. But the Toras Chacham wrote a Sefer called Toras Chacham. He was so impoverished that he wrote the Sefer on small slices of paper that he would find. The Rebbe actually says, there's a very, very interesting story, it's brought down, the Chazon Ish even comments on it. There was one year where the Rashash felt that it was time to bring Mashiach. That's all the tzaddikim do, right? They decide to do their thing. And it was the Rashash, it was the Torah Chacham, and the Rashash's other Talmud, the Chida. And the three of them decided to try and be Mechavein, to make Yichudim, to bring about whatever they needed to bring about. And there's even a place on the upper floor of Yeshivat Beit El that apparently the Chazon Ish was in, and he was trying to figure out where and what it was. But Bekitzer, something went wrong. There was a black dog that they saw or something along those lines. And the Rashash, there was a knas of Misa on the Rashash. There was a knas of impoverishment on the Toras Chacham. And there was a knas of Galus, of exile, on the Chida. So the Rashash passed away shortly afterwards. The Chida, we know, traveled, right? The Chida traveled throughout the entire world to try, and that's how we have Shem HaGadolim, that's how we have, now they published recently as diaries from those trips, and the Toras Chacham was completely, completely impoverished. But what the Rebbe points out, Rav Itchemeyer points out, is that Kodem the Tikkun, right, when Mashiach is getting close to coming, so all of those three punishments are going to be undone on one degree or another. So we see, what we see is as follows. The Chida was brought back to Eretz Yisrael. Chida's kever is here in Eretz Yisrael, right? So the Chida was brought back from exile. We see that the Rashash is no longer dead, but rather very, very much alive, in the sense that more people are learning the Rashash than ever before. Ashkenazim are learning the Rashash. Everyone is. And with the Toras Chacham, what we find is that because he wrote his Torah on such small, ripped pieces of paper, so there's going to be new editions of his Svarim coming out. And Rav Yaakov Hillel in his Beis Medrash just recently came out. This is like the fifth edition, but this edition is mamish like the edition of all editions, massive, beautiful, kavod harotli, and it's just waiting until the Rebbe and his Beis Medrash bring out kind of the next edition, which will be even more beautiful. But the Toras Chacham, one of the things about the Toras Chacham is that in addition to his ga'onis and his deep understanding of Panimiyas HaTorah, he was radical enough and he believed in his Torah enough to really go as far as he needed to go in terms of understanding his Rebbe's Torah. There are numerous places where you find in the Toras Chacham where he says, "The Havanti me krisei einai shal Rebbe." I understood from the creases of the eyes of my Rebbe what he meant to say. And you find in the Toras Chacham certain chidushim that you don't find necessarily in the Rashash. We'll go a little bit weiter about the Toras Chacham. The Toras Chacham wrote a mathematical manual. It's literally, if the Arizal, we spoke about this before, I believe, if the Arizal described what happens throughout a year, the Rashash described what happens throughout a day, and how everything that the Arizal described during the year is happening each and every day, the Toras Chacham came along and said, not only is everything that Arizal said happening every day, but it's happening in every moment. Every single moment. Ad kedei kach, that the Rashash says every bracha, every tefillah, every mitzvah. Toras Chacham says every time you glance anywhere, every time you breathe, every time you eat, every bite of food that you take, what you're experiencing is the full gamut of Seder Hashtalshalos, from Or Ein Sof, Kodem HaTzimtzum, through the Tzimtzum, the Kav, Adam Kadmo, in the worlds of Atzilus, Pri Yetzira Nasiya, Shvira, Tikkun, Birurim, all of the Inyanim, every single possible iteration of Pnimiyas HaTorah is taking place in each and every moment. The Toras Chacham Chacham was the proliferation of particulars. He took the system, the unified system of the Rashash, and he splintered it into a million different potential particular points. So when you look at the Torah's Chacham at first glance, what you'll see is a profoundly complex and nearly impossible text to uncover, because he wrote in Rosh Hashanah, so it's like Ab, the Sag, the Ma, the Ben, the Ab, the Chachma, the Tfuna, the Gimel, Shlishim of Nahi, of Ak, and it's cotton, like insane iterations that it would take like 1,000 minds to be able to handle. But thankfully, we live in a generation where we have the Tzaddik Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern, who not only understood the Sefer, but also understood how this Sefer is in fact the bridge that we have been missing for a long time. Because the bridge between the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was very often seen as missing. That we saw, there were five, let's talk in the five Giluyim, right? The Yechidei HaDoros, the five singular transgenerational tzaddikim that Rabbi Nachman describes, and Rav Avram ben Rav Nachman brings down Mefurish, Yotze Mipiv HaKohen Gadol, that there's five tzaddikim, five neshamos that come to bring new Torah into existence. That doesn't mean they're better, it doesn't mean they're smarter, it just means they're universes, and every other tzaddik that exists is a planet within a universe. There was Moshe Rabbeinu, there was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there was Rabbeinu HaArizal, there was the Baal Shem Tov, and there was Rabbi Nachman. Now, in truth, all of these five tzaddikim are just five different iterations of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Arizal writes in Shah HaKlalim that Moshe Rabbeinu is makusha to an idea called Yesoid Da'aba. It's the expression of true Chachma in this world. It's something that has everything to do with Purim. And this expression of Moshe Rabbeinu is expressed in five different places. So Zakhtar Rebbe, these five iterations of the Das of Moshe Rabbeinu unfold throughout the generations, right? So we have Moshe Rabbeinu who revealed the revealed Torah. We have Rashbi, who revealed the concealed Torah within the revealed Torah, right? Because Rashbi wrote the Zohar HaKadosh. What's the Zohar HaKadosh? The Zohar HaKadosh is taking Torah's Moshe and opening it up to understand the secrets of Torah's Moshe. So you have Niglos HaTorah, then you have the Hester within Niglos HaTorah, then you have the Arizal, who revealed Niglos HaTorah, Nistaros HaTorah, right? Not connected necessarily to the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then you have the Baal Shem Tov, who revealed the inner interiority of the teachings of the Arizal, of how to do it in a real, authentic way. And then you have Rabbi Nachman, who is Rabbi Nachman, right? So, but if you don't ascribe, right, to Rabbeinu, to Rabbi Nachman, so very often you find Lashonos, and I'm going to set up a binary here. It's not really a binary, because you don't have Rabbi Nachman without the Baal HaTanya and his Talmidim, and you don't have the Baal HaTanya and his Talmidim without Rabbi Nachman. But with the Baal HaTanya, when you learn the writings of the Rebbe Rashab, or you learn the writings of those who are studying Chabad very closely, you'll sometimes see Lashonos that Chasidus is Pnimius HaKabbalah. Or that there's Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, and then there's Razin Derazin, the secrets of the secrets, which are, you know, Pnimius of Chasidus. To the extent that you'll sometimes find that there's a split that's made very often between Kabbalah of the Arizal, as it's expressed through the Rashash, through the Torah's Chacham, and then the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov's Ki'ilu, they're two separate entities. Ki'ilu, right, the Arizal spoke in one language, the classic mashal is, the Arizal taught us how to see Hashem in Shemayim, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught us how to see Hashem down here Ba'aretz. But there's still a certain implication. A certain implication, we found this very often in the Vilna Gaon and his Talmidim, one of the main tainus that they had, at least on a revealed level, was that the Hasidim weren't being loyal enough to the Arizal. And the Baal HaTanya is like, what do you mean? Gro, you're not being loyal to the Arizal. You're loyal to the Torah. You're not loyal to the Mechabrim that came before you. So everybody was just trying to respect the Arizal in the end of the day. But Bekitzer, there was always a certain sense that there was a separation between the two, God forbid. What the Rebbe has shown, and I believe that it's explicitly clear when you're learning how the Rebbe teaches us what the Rashash is saying, that the pathway, the bridge between the Kabbalah of the Arizal into the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is the Rashash. The Rashash said about himself, based on the Arizal, that at the Arizal, at the end of his short life, he died as a result of the Talmidim not doing things properly, which is Bederek Klal, how things go, and also because Rav Chaim Vital pushed him to reveal a certain teaching, he writes. It was a teaching about Shvi Shal Pesach, about the Ayala, about the female ram who can't give birth, and the snake comes and bites the Rechem, and it's something called the Zivug of Katnus. It's a secret of how redemption can come from within stuckness. And the Arizal did not want to be Megala the Sod. And then he was Megala the Sod because Rav Chaim Vital pushed him, and the Talmud has the ability to push their Rebbe. And then the Arizal said, okay, but I'm not going to live much longer after this. And so the Arizal passed away. The Rashash came along and he said, the Arizal at the end of his life said, if you're Ro'i, I'm going to come back to you. Zak the Kafachayim, I forget exactly which simon, but the way that the Arizal came back was through the Rashash. That the Rashash is really the Gushpanka, the Rashash is the stamp of how to properly understand the writings of the Arizal, and the Taurus Chacham is the stamp on how to properly understand the writings of the Rashash. So the Rashash becomes the bridge between the world of the Ari and the world of the Baal Shem Tov. How? Because what the Rashash does, and the Taurus Chacham, by dint of the fact that he's a Talmud Mufak of the Rashash, he takes the Seder Hashtalshalos, the way that Rabbeinu Shlalem creates the world, the way that the Rabbeinu Shlalem runs the world, and he starts discussing them al pidarche hayichud. What the Rashash wants us to understand is how unity can give birth to multiplicity, and how multiplicity remains ever connected to unity. Before the Rashash, right, we lived in the world of the Arizal, and like if you look at the Ramak, you don't have so many Dargin, right? You have Or Ein Sof, you have the world that you live in, you have the ability to connect. But comes along the Arizal and he's like, no, there's five more than everything, and there's 25 more, and it's all these different levels, and a person can get very confused when learning the writings of the Arizal. Kilu, now we have like a building of 1,000 floors, and we don't see the unity between them. What the Rashash came along to do was minimize all of the Pratim, and amplify the klalim, reveal the general principles that rest behind the concepts, so that we can see it's really, in truth, it's basically two concepts. The Arizal himself said it. But the Rashash was not saying anything that Arizal didn't say. He was revealing what the Arizal had said. The Arizal says that be'emes, kimat kol chachmas hakabala yachol lichlol b'shnei klalim. You can comprise it in two klalim, man and mad. Mayim Nukvin and Mayim Dukhrin, Isarusa Dilatata and Isarusa Dilayla. Effort from below and expression from above. That's it. Human beings and the Rabbeinu Shlalem. That's all there is. And Be'emes comes along the Rashash to say that's not really it. All there is the Rabbeinu Shlalem. And so the Taurus Chacham, what we find in the Taurus Chacham is something amazing. The Taurus Chacham is so particularized. Infinite particulars, pratim and pratim and pratim and pratim, to the extent that if you're not sure where this is coming from, you're going to see it as quite literally the polar opposite of unity. It's a proliferation of details that appear to be separate and disunified. But what the Taurus Chacham is really doing, and this is what the Rebbe describes over and over and over again, is that what the Taurus Chacham did is that he splintered it into a million pieces, so that we can now look at each and every possible piece and reveal that each and every piece contains the whole within itself. Like the story we told last week, that once the Baal Shem Tov throws himself off of that cliff and shatters into a million pieces, Be'emes, each and every piece is a full Baal Shem Tov. Because what the Taurus Chacham says is as follows, based on the Rashash, based on the Arizal, HaKlal VaHaprat Shavin Lagamrei. The whole and the part are completely and absolutely unified. The only difference is that one appears to be a klal and one appears to be a prat. But if you dig deep enough into this particular piece that seems separate and removes from everything else, what you come to find is everything in there as well. It's fractals, all the way up, all the way down. And so what the Rebbe is going to be discussing over here in his Shirim on Taurus Chacham, so each week there's a different nekuda in quantum mechanics of the language of the Taurus Chacham. Then there's a biur, the Arach HaPshat, just explaining exactly, this is all done through the Rebbe's Talmud Mufak, Rav Shmuel Ehrenfeld Shlita. And then there's the Derech HaAvoida. The Derech HaAvoida is showing how what the Rashash and the Taurus Chacham are saying is mamish, 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 mushrash, the Derech HaAvoida, and it's something that's shayach to each and every one of us. What the Rebbe is going to be doing this week is spending a lot of time explaining the difference, or the chiddush, that the Taurus Chacham and really what Chassidus did in relationship to Kabbalah. Because again, we know that there are two schools of thought, two expressions that are dealing with the very same thing, with Pnimius HaTaira. But both of these expressions throughout history express themselves in different ways. So we're going to learn inside. It's more words tonight. And we're going to see exactly what the Rebbe wants to teach us about really what the Chiddush of Chassidus is in relationship to Kabbalah. This is a question that has been asked and answered by numerous people. The Lubavitcher Rebbe famously in Kuntres of Mahus in Yonah Shel Taurus HaChassidus, which is a fundamental mimer to learn, where the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that what Chassidus really is the Or of Reshad Lo Yada. That nobody revealed that light fully, and that's what Chassidus came to do. The Piyazetzner Rebbe, Hashem Yom Komdomo, also in Mavo Sha'arim, has an incredible explanation. He says that by Kabbalah, you have Oiris and Kalim. There's a separation between lights and vessels. What Chassidus has come to do is reveal that the vessels themselves are just congealed lights. which means that if you dig deep enough into the vessels, you come to find that they're also refined lights. And again, all of this is mushrash in the Arizal. So let's see what the Rebbe says. So before, just one haktama, what the Rebbe sees the power of Hasidus as is hapshata, abstraction. Abstraction, hapshata va'od hapshata va'od hapshata. Abstraction, abstraction, abstraction. The danger of learning the Arizal and learning the writings of the Arizal is taking them literally. This is an old-time argument, conversation as to what was the Arizal saying to us. Was the Arizal speaking metaphorically, just describing things like Zer'anpin, Malchus, Chachma, Bina, Sviros, Partzufim, and it's our job to get rid of the external mashal and understand the nimshal, understand what it means to me? Or is perhaps the Arizal describing somehow, some way, the actual mechanisms through which the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world? Now, obviously, the answer is both. But the danger with assuming that the Arizal was being literal is that you're being magshim the Ribbono Shel Olam to an infinite degree. You're giving body parts, you're giving limitations, you're making a sheer koma, there's worlds, there's Adam Kadmon, there's legs of Adam Kadmon, which becomes very difficult for a person. Now, obviously, the Arizal was never, even for a slight second, over any klal gadol in Emunas HaYichud, but when a person learns the Arizal, it's hard sometimes to keep, you know, the goal in mind. So what the Rebbe sees is that the goal of Hasidus was to be mapshit. It was to look at the words of the Arizal and to abstract the idea from within what the Arizal is saying and take it away from its given context and be able to apply it in infinite contexts. This is why on a certain level the Rebbe has said mefurish that his mahalach in Limud HaTorah is a continuity of the Ragachever Gaon. That the Ragachever Gaon did something very similar. The Ragachever Gaon learned Mor Nevuchim. And he was mapshit, the klalim that he learned in Mor Nevuchim. He saw what the Rambam was describing, philosophical, speculative concepts. The Ragachever didn't say, oh, all the Rambam is describing is philosophy. He took the svaros of the Rambam, abstracted them from their given context, which was Aristotelian whatever, and applied them to Shas. And what the Ragachever Gaon did, and this is very much what the Lubavitch Rebbe continued to do, and something that the Rebbe does very much as well, is took those klalim of Pnimius HaTorah and applied them to Shas. The only way you can apply those ideas to Shas is because you abstract it. You realize that the given content is not limited to its context, but rather it can be applied in infinite directions. And that's what the Rebbe is going to be writing now.
Take a picture of that so it can follow you in the text.
Bevada, you can certainly take a picture of that. Absolutely. Say there? Okay. So let's look inside. So Divrei Rabbeinu Bezeh Asimen Him Amud HaChachma HaZayis Kulo. So what the Torah's Chacham is explaining over here is the essence of the entire system. L'hoyres nasan shekol ha'amar ba b'klalusu pratusua b'diktukea. That everything that is being said in the general principles, as well as the particular categories, as well as the specific demarcations of ideas, kol inyanim ha-partzufim, v'halbashos, v'alios, v'darchei tikunim, v'ofanei zivugim, v'chol kayotza bazeh. Everything a person encounters when they look at the Arizal, zivugim, relationships, coupling, growth, ascension, drawing down mochin, all of these different ideas, kol elu dvarim, ein lahavinim kipshutam, chas v'shalom. A person should not come to assume that these things are meant to be understood as literal, simplistic concepts, ki'im al derech soidam v'pnimiusam. But rather, a person needs to study them with the eye on their inner secret. V'u ke'inyin shekasav adoneinu harambam behilchos yisodei ha-Torah perek aleph. This is what the Rambam wrote in Hilchos Yisodei ha-Torah. Hare mefurash b'Torah v'neviyim she'en ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu guf v'gviya. It's absolutely clear, it's axiomatic that God has no body or no sense of a body. Shene Amar, like the Pasuk says, Ki lo ra'isem kol tmuna. That Judaism of any system that has emerged into existence is the one that has tried to scrub this idea away from divinity forever. The idea of measurement, the idea of limitation, the idea of idolatry. This is what Avram Avinu was. Avram Avinu shattered idols because idols are measurable. Idols are identifiable. I can measure it as if it's a physical item. Meshiloch says all of that is rooted in the gaiva that I want to be stronger than my God. I want to be my own higher power. But be'emes, it's deeply rooted in Klal Yisrael's hanhagos from the beginning, is that our job is to recognize that there is no tmuna. Second, I think I can be masag a tmuna of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm already Ovid of the Zara. V'ne'emar ve'elmi tadmuni ve'ashava. And the Pasuk says, who in the world can compare or imagine me and have any sense of understanding? Im kein ma hu ze sha kasuv betayra vetachas raglav kasuvim beetzba loy kim yad Hashem eni Hashem azne Hashem kiyotzu b'dvar me'ilu. But then we have a big steer because the entire Torah speaks about the body parts of God. Right, so on the one hand, there's absolutely no measurement whatsoever available to any mind. On the other hand, it's mefurish miyotzim mepiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's different body parts. Elama hakol lefi daisan shel bnei adam hu she'enam makirim ela hagufos hagufos. Right, so in truth, the reason that the Torah spoke in this language is because Dibra Torah Kalashim Bnei Adam, and it's speaking to people who have no concept of understanding anything except by way of physical limitation. V'dabra HaTorah Kalashim Bnei Adam, and the Torah spoke like human beings. V'kol kinuyim hein, and everything are just examples, they're nicknames, so to speak, they're concepts. B'mara HaNevura u'b'mechze, that are emergent by way of a vision that is beheld in the prophetic eye. Now this is really, if anybody really, I mean, this is a sugya that, it's one of my favorite sugyas, the Leshem and the Ramchal get into, I mean, the Ramchal lived before the Leshem, but the Leshem goes to town on those who spend too much time learning the Ramchal, because the Ramchal's mahalach, at least it seems from those who were studying him, was the entire avoda was to try and understand, you know, the Mara HaNevua, what does it mean to me, as opposed to believing in the language of the Arizal as well. The Leshem says all we have is the language of the Arizal, but at the same point we have no idea what the Arizal was talking about, right? So the Leshem is the one who says, I can say Tzimtzum is Kipshuto. Avadat Tzimtzum is Kipshuto. Everyone's like, whoa, how can you say that? He says, because everything is Kipshuto. We have no idea what anything the Arizal is talking about is. We just know that it exists the same way that Shir HaShirim exists. The Kivan Shenispar She'eno Guf V'Gviya. And when it's clarified to us that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, so at that point we recognize that he's not subject to the change that affects bodies. Lo chibur v'lo pirud, no connectivity and no disconnection. Lo makom v'lo mida, no place and no measurement. Lo aliyah v'lo yerida, no ascension and no descent. Lo yamin v'lo smol, no right, no left. Lo panim v'lo achor, lo yeshiva v'lo amida v'chol dvarim ha'elu einam mitzuyim ela legufim ha'afelim ha'shvelim shochnei basei choyim ha'asher ba'afer yisoydim. These elements, these descriptive terms that we're using to describe a measured God are simply there because the language that the Torah is trying to speak is to measured people. But that's our reference point. And that's why the Torah speaks of measurement and limitation. Aval hu baruch hu yisbaruch hu yisraimim ala kol zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond any of these limiting factors. V'havein dehein hein divei Rabbeinu b'shmaisen. And understand that what the Rambam is saying over here is exactly what we need to understand the Torah's Chacham. Now, agav orcha, what the Rebbe is doing here is a very delicate thing because there were many mikubalim, more so Balei Chassidus and also early Talmidim of the Ramban, who instead of going to town on Mor HaNevuchim, wanted to say that no, the Mor HaNevuchim was simply hiding the secrets of Kabbalah within Mor HaNevuchim, and it's our job to uncover the secrets of Pnimiyas HaTorah that existed within Mor HaNevuchim. Now there was a historical discussion as to whether the Rambam had some access point to maybe the Zohar HaKadosh or to what we might conceive of as the library that we know of as Pnimiyas HaTorah. There was a letter written by the Abarbanel, which turned out to be a Zio. So far, Kol, you know, there's two chiluke deos, right? Some will say that the Rambam hints, and you find this elsewhere, like when the Rambam says that there's a hint to shofar, that it wakes up somebody who's slumbering. So if you look at the Arizal, that's exactly what's going on. If you look at the Rambam and Mor HaNevuchim about Ketoros, which is there to get rid of a bad smell, so yeah, it's there to get rid of the bad smell of Avodah Zarah. So Rav Tzadok says this in numerous places. Then you have Chabad Lubavitch, who never said that the Rambam was dealing with Pnimiyas HaTorah. They just believed enough in the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't have to be using our same language to be giving us principles. But what the Rebbe is doing here is saying that the Rambam here gives us a tool to understand what the Torah's Chacham is saying. Yeah? Fighter. Now it's familiar to all of us what Admor HaZaken says in Mamer Admor HaZaken in Yonim. That the Baal Shem Tov had an issue with those who were learning Kabbalah in his time, but were not able to abstract the secrets of Kabbalah away from the external casings which were rooted in physical measurements. And Baruch Hashem, this week we're going to be learning the words of the Tzaddikim because the Rebbe is bringing their words mufurash. So what does the Tzemach Tzedek say in Derech Mitzvasecha, Shorash Mitzvah Satvila? Now again, Derech Mitzvasecha, Shorash Mitzvah Satvila, and Shorash Mitzvah Ha'amanas HaLokus is B'derech Klal, what the Rebbe points out, what a person needs to learn to get a good, clear picture of what it means to really understand secrets of Yichud. That's where the Tzemach Tzedek goes word by word by word, breaking our heads over and over, helping us understand exactly what needs to be understood. Ad kedei kach, that if you're learning the words of the Tzemach Tzedek, it's very difficult to misunderstand anything. But this is the lashon of the Tzemach Tzedek. Yesh lahaktim ha'ara achas lahapshit hadvar megash miusam. We have to begin with one insight that will help us abstract these ideas from their physical nature. Dihine milvad ha'apshata hayadua lakol. Aside from the abstraction that everybody knows about, which is what? Shekol masha dibru ha'mekubalim v'kino ila elokus yisparach v'arche ha'kinuyim ha'gashmiyim. That all of the levels and gradations that the mekubalim spoke about when it came to godliness and using their language of minimization and measurement, kamo rosh v'yadayim v'raglayim v'doymehem, like heads and hands and feet, and furthermore, hakol mashal umalitza. All of it is a metaphor and a figure of speech. Umikra malek siv, and the pasuk tells us ki loy ra'isim kol tmuna. Very much like the Rambam. Kamo shekasav be'idraba, like it says in the Idraba. What does it say in the Idraba? Which was what Rashbi gave over to his chavraya, not on the day of his death, but the day that some of the chavraya didn't make it out because the Arizal, because Rashbi spoke on such a high level. But in the Idraba it says aru ha'ish asher yasa pesach u'masecha. Aru ha'ish. Cursed is the person who takes the ideas described in this book, the Zohar, literally. But again, we have to be mature about what literal and non-literal means. There's a middle ground, right? To say that the words of the Arizal and the words of Rashbi are not literal is to deny the Torah of Rashbi and the Arizal, as if the Arizal was just giving us, you know, random ideas or random strange pictures to help us understand. On the other hand, to take the words of the Arizal absolutely literally is kfira, because then you're believing in the fact that God is somehow limited. Elama, we have to understand that the language, you find this language very often. I want to just name the tzaddikim that I know use this language. So it's Mefurish in Shar Gimel from Nefesh HaChaim. It's Mefurish in the first parak or the second parak in Tanya. Rabbi Nachman brings it down as well. I forget exactly which Torah. The Leshem brings it down, and Rav Yitzchak brings it down. The Lashon is Mamish Kavyachol, which is like the greatest thing in the world. Mamish Kavyachol. Because that is the only paradoxical phrase that can capture exactly what it is that the Arizal and Rashbi and Shir HaShirim were doing for us. We're describing things that are Mamish, that are absolutely real. But how are they real? Kavyachol. They're real in a way that we have no idea how they're real. They're figuratively real. Or they're real in their metaphoric sense, meaning the words that the Arizal gave us, when the Arizal speaks in Zer Anpin and Nukva, that's the Metzias. There's a Metzias of Zer Anpin and Nukva. But what does that mean? The moment we begin to think we have an idea is the moment we don't have a right to be learning these ideas anymore. It's Mamish Kavyachal at the very same moment. And so the Tzemach Tzedek continues. Mikra Malik Siv, right, so this is what the Ijarabba says, that Aru Ha'ish, Elahim koiches eloikim shenikra kain lafi shehim mekor de mekor lehisavus advar magashmiim shabaila mazesh shenikraim al shmoi kain kamoisha kasav hashla.
So this is a famous shla kadosh, right? So the Tzemach Tzedek is saying what the shla says. What does the shla say? Don't think, so to speak, that we have a hand, and therefore the Torah says that the Rabbanu Shlalom has a hand, so that by way of the metaphor of our hand, we can understand what it means that Hashem has a hand. Elama, there's a concept of a hand by Kudsh Baruch Hu. What a hand means, we have absolutely no idea. But the hand of Kudsh Baruch Hu, Kavyachal, is the makor, the makor, the makor, that gives birth to our mashal, which is our hand. It's a reversed order. That in truth, the Rabbanu Shlalom has this inyan called a hand. What we understand as a hand is just a muscle for that concept. But in truth, the language of the Torah, the language of the Arizal, the language of Rashbi, is the makor, the makor, the makor to all of the inyanim that we are masig down here in this world, but not the other way around. Because if I think I have a hand, and therefore the Torah says Hashem has a hand, so then I'm going to be magshim, just as I have a hand, Hashem has a hand. But if I flip it around, then I realize that no, I am not the literal point in which the metaphor is born. The Rabbanu Shlalom is the literal point out of which the metaphor is born. The Rabbanu Shlalom has a hand. This hand is just a mushal for the hand of the Rabbanu Shlalom. So too everything down here. Water, fire, afar, all of it. They are mishalim to the spiritual potencies that exist by way of a very fine and thin as things possibly can be, of a non-existent existent or an existent non-existence. And what we understand level after level after level after level is our own experience with these ideas. Right? So this is the language of the Tzemach Tzedek. Elashem koiches eloikim, these are godly forces, so to speak, shenikru kain, that are referred to, lefi shehem mekor demekor lehisavasa devarim hagashmim shabay lemazeh, shenikru malshmo kain. Right, that they are the source of the source of these ideas, to the point that they're going to be referred to down here by the same name as the Shla Kadosh wrote. Ach odzos. Everybody with me on this nakuda? So there's an even further hapshata that has to take place. There's an even further act of abstraction, because the Rebbe gave a shir in Svas by the kever of the Arizal, this was a number of years ago, where he says that he's learning through the piece in Idra Rabba, which talks about the curse to a person who takes things literally. The Rebbe says, Mufurish, he says, it's hapshata, va'od hapshata, va'od hapshata, va'od hapshata. Abstraction, more abstraction, more abstraction. Abstraction to the point that it has been thinned out to the point of invisibility. Now, something that is invisible is still real, right? I don't say that something not real is invisible, because there's nothing there. For something to be invisible or translucent means that it's there, but it's at its finest refinement to the extent that it's impossible to refine it any more than that. Because it's not okay to say that Arizal's words are not real. That's not what Chassidus is saying, God forbid. That was a taina on Chassidus. Chassidus takes the words of the Arizal as seriously as a person can, but it's refined and abstracted until all that exists is the translucent shape of what those ideas are. Hapshata v'oid hapshata. So now the Tzemach Tzedek is describing a second form of hapshata, other than being aware that the things that the Torah describes are not absolutely real in the way we think about them, but rather through a healthy way of understanding. Ach oid zay sarach ledas hapshata. There's even more hapshata that has to be understood. V'yesh baza arichas devarim lahatim. And there's an elongation of ideas that can be expressed in order to understand this. Umizah hatam siva habal shem tov shlo lilmod sefer kabbalah. Baal Shem Tov said, don't learn Kabbalah. Rabbi Nachman said similar things. Don't be machaving, because most people are going to get stuck. Kimi she'eno yodea lahapshit ha'dvarim megashmiyusam. Because someone who is not taught and not aware of the pathways of abstracting the ideas from their physical casing, mitgashim ma'od al yodei limud zeh, they're going to find themselves becoming more physicalized, as we've seen, lo aleinu, throughout history. That this limud is going to bring to an even thicker misunderstanding. When a person begins measuring and applying limitations to godliness in accordance with their small-mindedness. Like we said, this is not, God forbid, to say that the Arizal was an emes la'amiso and kodesh hakadashim. And when the Arizal referred to the Shechina as Malchus, that's the deepest truth in the world. And so too, there's a concept of the Shem Aleph Lamed being rooted in Chesed, the Shem Eloikim beGevura. All of that remains to be true, but not true in the way that most people foolishly understand it. The Inyan who. So what's the Inyan?
Sure. Why do we learn it?
Why do we learn it? The same way, and this is Mushrish in the Leshem. Right, so this Mushrish, the Leshem is really the one who says this most Mufurish, but I think that the Rebbe is look, I can't speak for the sheet, but the Leshem says Mufurish in numerous places, that by speaking the language of Atzilus, we're Ma'oira the Devar Min Atzilus. That by speaking the language, when a person learns Eitz Chaim or Otzer Chaim or Shar Kavanos or Pri Eitz Chaim or whatever it is.
But is that negating, Chas V'Shalom, what the best?
Not if a person understands what the Leshem is saying. The Hakdama has to be that...
It's so hard to understand.
It's hard to understand, but the more I understand it, the deeper the Yichud, because then I'm awakening those matters on my own. So you're right. For Hamon Am, then it's not Shaykh to go into it. But the Baal Shem Tov gave the Hakdamos. But the Baal Shem Tov gave the Hakdamos. Chabad Chassidus gave the Tzemach Tzedek, is telling us Mufurish what is necessary to learn the Arizal. And it's the Tzemach Tzedek who really, most of the Admorim of Lubavitch, they don't necessarily bring all of the words of the Arizal. The Tzemach Tzedek brings, right? The Tzemach Tzedek brings the Makoros from the Arizal. That's one of the Chidushim I heard from a big Talmud of the Rebbe, that the Rebbe recommends, not exclusively, but to learn the Tzemach Tzedek, because in addition to getting the Mesorah of Chassidus Chabad, you're also receiving all of the Makoros upon which Chassidus Chabad is building itself. But when a person can refine their understanding to the degree that I know what the words that I'm reading from the Arizal are, at that point I'm Me'orer the Devarim Lamala.
But you're right, if a person is not in that headspace where they have to be mapshit, v'mapshit, v'mapshit, so then it's not necessarily so fundamental, other than, you know, learning the terms that the Balei Chassidus were utilizing. And you have wonderful svarim for that. You have Sifsei Chaim for that. There's amazing svarim that are makdim the ideas, but it's not necessarily limud HaKabbalah, at least according to what the Rebbe is saying here, that there's a limud HaKabbalah, which is understanding the terms in their true essence, which is that they're both mamish and kavyachal at once. They're real, but not real in any thematizable or understandable way that we can understand, except by derech ha-segula, that by reading the words, by saying, Zer anpin malchus, arach anpin atikyoimin, or ma'ora these things. And then there's the limud ha-chasidus, which is taking the totza'ah out of it. Now, vad, if a person's going to have to choose one that they're going to focus on, I think, you know, pashtus is you follow the derech ha-bal shem tov. But there's a chidush, and this is one of the ikr chidushim of the Rebbe. A person could look at the Baal Shem Tov as a simple process. But when you draw every word of the Arizal and the Rashash and the Toras Chacham and the proliferation of details and all of the confusion and specificity of the Arizal through the lens of Chassidus, what you do is you magnify the power of Chassidus nearly infinitely. Because now Chassidus is not simply some simplified system that ignores the particulars, but rather it's a complex system that takes every particular and forces each and every particular to become a vehicle of infinitude. You're with me on that? Or phrased differently, like we said before. But the Arizal gave us a clear picture, so to speak. Why does the Toras Chacham come along and make it so complicated by proliferating all of the prate pratim? Because it's one thing to live with a klal. That's fine, that's great, and that's a much better option than living in isolated pratim. But if a person can draw the light of the klal into the isolated pratim to reveal that the isolated pratim are also part of the klal, then what you've done is it's v'yiskada v'yiskada shmirab. You've made the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even bigger, because now Hashem is not only found in the klal, he's found in the pratim also. And that's a line. So what does metaphorically mean? What's a klal and what's a prat? Light and darkness, easy street and suffering, right? So the Baal Shem Tov, okay, you can find the Rabbanu Shalom in the Or, right? But you don't necessarily see how you're going to find the Rabbanu Shalom in the Pratim. Even though a person can find that in the Hasidim, the Balei Chassidus who follow the path of the Ari, but to learn the Ari is to take every shar in Eitz Chaim, every word in Eitz Chaim, every word in Shar Kavanos, and allow it to become a vessel to encounter or in Sof Mamash. This is what if you look at what the Rebbe is davening from, what the Mekubalim are davening from, the Rebbe's Siddur is like 2,000 pages or something. And it's all of like infinite names and iterations and letters written over and over, infinite pratim. So what's the Rebbe doing? What's the Tzaddik doing when they look at a Sefer with infinite pratim? Are they caught up in the forest of all the details and each and every part of the tree and this name means that? Or is every single letter on that page becoming another vessel for the iteration of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over and over and over and over again? So the more pratim, the bigger the giloy afterwards. So that's where the maila of limud HaKabbalah comes from. In addition to the fact that it's a chelek kavoa min haTorah. Then a person has to hold themselves on shas and, you know, everything else also. So I don't really use that argument because I can't stand by that. Halavai. But I think that learning the words of the Arizal becomes the mechanism through which we can be magdil the light of the Baal Shem Tov.
Or we can just say the Shaggy and my Kavana should be like the ones of the Kavana that know.
Bivadai, there's that also. Either way, but that takes bittel. Right. That takes bittel. That's the whole thing, as we're going to see, right? So the person is mavato themselves.
What Rabbi Nachman was sort of saying.
But Rabbi Nachman said about Eitz Chaim that Eitz Chaim is a Gvaldika Sefer Musar. And I don't believe that Rabbeinu was, you know, was poking fun at the Arizal, God forbid. I believe that it's exactly what it is. But the Eitz Chaim, through Rabbi Nachman, you understand how the Eitz Chaim is a Sefer Musar.
When a Rebbe has a 1,000-page sitter, that's his symphony. Like, he sees the infinite light within each word.
Mm-hmm.
But to imagine that we can unravel the writings of a genius going through the depths of,
mm-hmm,
like you say, the deepest quantum mechanics,
right,
and explain it and still find it meaningful is incredibly high.
It's incredibly high. I heard someone told me a beautiful thing that two Shabbosim ago, that there were kids in Toras Chacham who were asking, because they see their fathers and they see the Rebbe davening with Sidurei Rashash, right, so they were asking, we want to daven from Sidurei Rashash also. And the Rebbe said, let them daven from Sidurei Rashash. There's also an idea, aside from the aspirational element, there's also an idea that without knowing anything at all, these inyanim are matayah the nefesh. But look at the Shem Havaya. There's an inyan. The Svarik Mukbaum spoke about it a lot, that, you know, someone came to want to daven from a Siddur HaShash, and they said, I'm worried because I'm not fully tahor. So what the tzaddikim said is that, how are you going to become tahor without looking at the Siddur HaShash? So there are gradations on that level, but you're right. The danger is when a person thinks that they're, you know, being mechavein. And that's when, the Arizal everywhere said, like, that to learn while you're davening is the opposite of what we're trying to do here, right? It takes immense knowledge and yidios to be able to do this. But I think there's gradations to it, right? When you see the Rebbe's mamish, like, if you've seen him davening, flipping through pages with infinite iterations of ideas, and a person can spend 1,000 years describing what the klalim are and what the pratim are, but the Rebbe's doing it, you know, very quickly. The Baal HaSadeh, who was blind towards the end of his life, davened Shemona Esrei in, like, under 2 minutes flat. And there's no question the Baal HaSadeh was mechavein into everything, right? So there's gradations.
But like also what you said, like the Rosh, be like, the second we start taking things literally, we have to stop. So could you say that it would be better to never even learn the Zohar, learn the teachings of the Rizal, just to read them Baal Peh?
The Sfardim have that mahalach very often. There's a big segula satorah of learning the words themselves, and the Chafetz Chaim said,
just to read it.
Yeah. The Idra, the Chafetz Chaim said that it's a Gevaldik Medrash. The Zohar Kaddish is a Gevaldik Medrash.
Zohar Kaddish does read much more
fluidly
like
than
the
Arizal. The Arizal is a much more, it's a different language. Yeah. And I do believe that there is a value in Girsa of any Sefer, especially Svarim that are written in Baruch HaKodesh. But whether it's better or not, I think that nowadays with Hasidus, and especially with, if a person is learning the writings of the Rebbe, a person is not going to go off. If you're learning the words with Bittul, it's so guided, and it's so clear, to the extent that it's really, really difficult, unless a person has an agenda, and unless a person is a Balgaiva Lagamre, it's very difficult to get it wrong. The words are so clearly written, and the Azharos and the clarifications are so... I don't know if it's ever been like this before, meaning there were earlier Svarim, there was Shomer Amunah Makadmon, which came, Rav Yosef Igros, which came to be Mavar, these questions, there was Tal Eiros, there was... But what the Rebbe's writings have done is I don't believe that it's such a, you know, I don't think it's such a danger anymore if a person has the requisite amount of bittul to a sefer, and they're not trying to A, self-aggrandize themselves, and they're not trying to, you know... I said this the other night, that I think there's a big fear that you have to be mamish, a really specific type of negative soul on a certain level to be a Shabtai Tzvi. Not everybody who learns Kabbalah is going to be Shabtai Tzvi. Not everybody, you know, or the Kasa Ruah. Not everybody is looking to uproot all things. We're not all looking to bring a korban on a bama, you know, outside of Yerushalayim. I think we have to trust ourselves a little bit more to allow the words to be menachem us rather than, oh my gosh, am I going to get it wrong? Right? In the end of the day, the Mekubalim say, mefurish. There's no difference between somebody, a 2-year-old who believes in the Rabbeinu Shleilim, and the Mekubalim who are Mechavein. Except that the people who are being Mechavein, it's as if they're doing it, they're bringing about the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through their own efforts. Like the Ramchal writes, the Indian of Bechira. What, a person who lives with their Bechira, a person who doesn't live with their Bechira, in the end of the day, Hashem is going to reveal Himself fully to them, so what's the difference? One enjoyed the journey and the process because they earned it on their own, at least theoretically, and the other one earned it without effort. So the same is true with going through all of the Pratim.
The idea is to tap into the Ori Sof, and what's the difference between just learning Chumash or Gemara, and it's also Ori Sof.
Bevadai. But the difference again is that when a person is learning Yashar and the Chumash, a person is learning Torah Shebichsav, and a person sees, or with the Amunah, that the light of the Rabbeinu Shleilim is safug and saturated in that text. When a person is learning the Arizal sets up Kelim Mekelim Shonim. The Arizal is showing a system. Rav Steinsaltz said that it's the only theology, so to speak, that Yiddishkeit actually has, is what we have from the Arizal. And it was mekubal by nearly everybody, right? Nearly everybody, right? A zaken mamri could be chodek on the Arizal. I remember I was in Rav Matel Zilber Shlita's office. We had the schus of having an English-speaking chabura. And the Stachina Rebbe was very upset about something. And what had happened was that there was like a Hasidish younger man who had come in, and he asked the Rav Matel, how do we know that the Arizal is true? Now, That's not an unreasonable question, I believe, for someone who's coming from particular spaces to ask. But in Rav Muttal's context and the Hasidim coming to him, Rav Muttal cannot shake this. His response was, Zakin Mamre, you're coming here to be choylik on the Arizal, meaning it's a choyk nasan v'leyavor. The chiddush of the Arizal is he gives more and more kalim to reveal Orin Sof, which is magdil the power of Orin Sof. Because the more limitation that the light of the infinite can express itself in, without kind of negating those vessels, but allowing itself to express, it shows a deeper power of the Rabbanu Shel Olam's capacity. Because Or Ein Sof without limitation, okay, that's nice, but it's not a chiddush. Or Ein Sof within limitation, yet still remaining Or Ein Sof, and allowing limitation to continue to exist as well, simultaneously, that's the chiddush. That's where it gets funny. That's Yitzchak Avinu. And so the chiddush of learning the Arizal and the Kabbalah is really, and it's also, the Arizal was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. To a certain degree, some of the poskim point out that you can't be choylik on the Arizal because it's a din in nevuah on a certain level. So the Ari is also a historical process in which these ideas unfolded. Now Rabbi Nachman has something important to say when it comes to these historical revelations, right? That before the historic revelation of this type of Torah, so a person could get by without it. After that Torah has been revealed, you can't get by without it. So beforehand, the person maybe didn't need to learn the words of the Arizal. Once the Arizal revealed himself, so we're already, you know, now we have these vessels to work with. Everybody with me on these inyanim? Okay, so let's go a little bit weiter. In order to save us from this danger and from this kind of fear of going over the boundary or transgressing the boundary of proper understanding of Yichud Hashem, and God forbid coming to think that God is anything other than absolute unity without any slight possibility of disunity or separation, Hipshit Maran Or Shiva Sayamim HaBal Shem Tov HaKadosh Nishmas Beginzi Meroimim Kol Inyonim HaAmurim B'Chach Masachin Mimashmusam HaPshatis. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came along, and he took all of Chachma Sachin, all of Chachma Sanister, and he abstracted it from their simple literal meanings. The He'elem, the Pirshem, Alpidarche Hadveikos, comes along the Baal Shem Tov, and he taught that everything that the Arizal was talking about is simply gradations in connectivity to God. Dveikos. Every parts of Arech Anpin is a type of Dveikos, Abba is a type of Dveikos, Ima, Zah, Malchus, all different gradations in Dveikos. Asiya, Yitzira, Bria, Atzilas, different gradations of Dveikos to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. V'hainu d'chol ha'mor b'inyan ha'aliyas ha'sfiros v'ha'partzufim v'tikunim v'albashasam yichudim panim v'achar malumata. Every word that is said about all of the partzufim and the sfiros called elu anyanim, mine Dveikos heim zeh l'malum izeh. All it's talking about is ways of connectivity to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, ways of believing in the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Because when it comes to Dveikus, there are infinite gradations and levels. Because like we've spoken about so often from the Rebbe's Torah, that the ceiling is simply the floor of the next level, ad infinitum. We learned this from Avram Avinu. We're going to see this in this week's Parsha. That Avram Avinu is sitting Pesach HaOyel. Or yeah, this week's Parsha, right? Pesach HaOel. What does that mean? Zok the Baal Shem Tov. That when the tzaddik reaches the sharnun, when the tzaddik reaches the highest possible level, what they come to realize is that there's just another nun sharim above that, and another nun sharim above that, and above that. So the chiddush of Avram Avinu is that he's still Yoshev Pesach HaShar, because he understands that I don't know anything yet. It's all emunah. All the way up, all the way down. There's gradations to Dveikus. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, in the name of the Magid, and Todo says it as well, Ha'emuna hi ha-dveikus, that faith itself is dveikus. So again, the dargan and dveikus are also dargan and faith. V'acharav kam loy ha-magad ha-gadol mi-mezrich, s'chus ha-gan-aleinu. Then the Magad of Mizrich came along and he didn't say the same thing. He didn't say that it's all gradations of dveikus and connectivity to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Ha'emida malachas, he stood them up on one inyan. What was that? Inyan ha-bitl. That when it came to the Magid of Mizrich, and we see this very much by the Talmud HaAmiti of the Magid, who learned not only as a Talmud of the Magid, but learned with the son of the Magid, or Avram HaMalach, who was the Baal HaTanya, who was able to be Mekabel, the Moichin of the teacher and the father. That's why in Lubavitch they feel that the Baal HaTanya had the Mesorah HaAmiti, because he studied B'chavrusa with Rav Avram ben HaMagid. And a teacher teaches one way, and a father conveys ideas in a different way. So what the Baal HaTanya was zeichet to was Havanas HaBen and Havanas HaTalmud, as Rabbi Nachman describes in his Torah about a Ben who's Nishapech Le'eved. But he understood the ideas in Kabbalah to be Darche HaBitl, ways of self-annihilation, erasing the self, ego nullification, getting out of the way, not thinking about myself all the time. Ka'amur ha-kasuv, like the Pasuk says, and the Baal HaTanya brings us down, Mefurish from the Magid, kulam b'chachma asita. Everything is made with chachma. Chachma is inyane bitol v'ayin, right? Chachma is self-nullification. V'or ein soif, eno shara ela al davar ha-bitol l'fanav. That there's no presence of the infinite light except on something that nullifies itself in the face of the infinite light. U'kafishir ha-bitol, and in accordance with the gradations of bitol and self-nullification, kach yishra alav or ha-ein soif, b'yasser se'esu b'yasser oz. So too, the light of the Rabbanu Shleilim is going to be revealed upon that person with even more intensity. And following the Maggid of Mizrich, and following the pathway of the Maggid was the Admar HaZaken and all of his holy children. Everything is dependent upon Bittul. Everybody with me? Yeah? The bittul in yonai amoik miyam sianu, that the concept of bittul is something that is so profoundly deep, who in the world can claim that they have an understanding? Umadrigasi rabbi ad ma'oid, and there are infinite gradations. Atzme begam gaveyu ma'oid lamala mirei shaharim, and there's no limit to the levels of bittul. The Rebbe last night was talking about ayin mamish, he kept repeating ayin mamish, and even though, like we said, it's aniva ayin, a person has to always come back down to the self, but emes, the ikr tachlis, is ayin mamish, to be bittul betach. The Rebbe in Yat Kislev this year brought down a language from the Kapaster, from the Magin Avos, who is a son of the Tzemach Tzedek, where he writes that there's a darga of bittul that a person can get to where it's ki'ilu lo yatsa klau, to the point where a person has literally not even begun to be created. And I thought, Mahavdiya, we say this, you know, from a makom of katna sometimes, by vidoy on Yom HaKippurim, where we say, Achshav shenatzarti ki'ilu lo natzarti. And now that I'm created, it's as if I'm not created. So a person typically sees that as a response to shame. But in truth, it could also be seen as a dargin bittul. Achshav shenatzarti, I'm created, but still it's ki'ilu lo natzarti. I realize that it's as if I wasn't created. Ad ki kol inyanei ha-chachma v'chol ha-shinuyim ha-nimtzoyim bein amidos v'apartzufim, all of the distinctions and the gradations that we encounter when it comes to the language of the Arizal, is all talking about bittul. It's all talking about bittul. And now we're going to see if we have a couple of more minutes, Chevra. Yeah, we have a couple more minutes. We'll go see what the Rebbe says about the Toras Chacham, what the Toras Chacham was coming to do in this Chachma. Before everyone has time for one more Hakdama in the Toras Chacham, what we said the first week that we gave Shir, the Toras Chacham is a Klal Gadol of Ein Sul Siluk Moich in the Olam. That when the Toras Chacham sees in the Arizal, that you can lose your mindfulness, you can lose your moichin, you can lose chachma, you can lose bina, there's yirida. What the Taras Chacham says is, ein siluk moichin la'olam. There is no yirida. There is no descent. There is nothing that is ever going down. Everything is perpetually elevating itself. When holiness is present, it remains there steadfastly without any departure. Holiness leaves a trace, an irreducible trace in its place. And so we see in the Arizal ups and downs, growth and descent. All it means is it's different levels of being Masig HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different qualities of grasping the Rabbonu Shel Olam, different dargun in Eichus of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. For the Toras Chacham, it's very important. We see Kamus and Eichus. There's quantity and quality. Quantity always remains the same. The world of Keser, the world of Asiya, on a quantity level, everything is the same. Whether I'm the Kohen Gadol, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or whether I am putting my left shoe on after my right shoe, I am accessing the same quantity of divine revelation. The distinction that we're going to see in our lives is the quality in which we understand the presence of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. What is the Eichus? Eich. How do I feel it right now?
Quantity, not going down.
What?
What's the significance of the quantity not going down?
So it's a hard Indian. This is where you get to the point where in the end of the day, what the Kabbalah is describing is the mathematics of existence. It's describing the shape in which the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so to speak, reveals himself to human beings. That remains the same no matter what.
Meaning Hashem is always infinitely,
yeah,
maximally engaged
present
with this moment.
Yeah.
However, if the quality changes, that means
you must get differently
to me,
right,
as total disconnection.
Right. Sounds like the Baal Shem.
So does that take away the power of Ein Siluk Moichin La'olam, sort of?
It doesn't take away the power of Ein Siluk Moichin La'olam, because that's the reason, because the quantity is always
Mochin
present.
Is by me.
So that's a, so you're already working in the Baal Shem Tov, right? By the Baal Shem Tov, we already know that Meichen is by me. It's up to me to determine what my status is vis-a-vis the Rabbanu Shleilim. But in the Ari and in the Rashash, Meichen were seen as something that were legitimate. I can either be Mamshech Meichen or there's a Sila Kamoichen.
So like Rabbi Nachman, that any like loss or suffering is a
different opportunity. It's an absence of das. Yes,
the reality is still the same.
Reality is always the same. But you see already the intimations of Taras HaBaal Shem Tov already within what seemingly is the most complex of all writings of the Arizal, the Taras Chacham. That's exactly it. And so let's see what the Taras Chacham says. Va'acharav, oh, okay, over here. Va'amnan echad haya v'persamo hakasav harehu or haynu aharav hakadosh rabbeinu hakadosh Taras Chacham. The Taras Chacham. The singular one who came along, Shapiresh Kol Prate Chachma. He came along and he explained every part of this Chachma, Al Pidarche Hasagas Eloikus, by way of how I grasp the Rabbanu Shleilim. Hasaga. Not the Bittel of the Magid, not the Dveikus of the Baal Shem Tov, but Hasaga. How do I grasp it? How do I encounter? How do I live with the Rabbanu Shleilim in my mind right now? Hanikra Bilashoine Halba'ash Ha'echus. The different gradations of the qualities. The quality in which the Rabbanu Shleilim reveals himself to me. The chol enyane halbasha safartzufim milamala umilamata milafnim milaachor. Everything that is said about what is higher, what is lower, the fact that Zah is higher than Malchus, the fact that Abba and Ima are higher than Zah, v'chule v'chule. Everything that is said in this chachma hazosam, you said this al shir, his chalkus adargin beside roish teichsof. Everything that is built upon this system and the system that Arizal revealed, which is based upon the hierarchy of above, middle, and below, the aliyah of partzufim going upwards and the descent going downwards, all of the expressions, all of the names, kulam einam ela chiluke madregas ba'asagas alikus kasher yiha oifen b'teicha oifen. Everything is simply gradations of grasping layer upon layer upon layer of the same expression of the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nei kvar kasav harav HaKadosh Marino harav Avram Aaron HaLevi Meistra Selya, the Talmud Mufak of the Baal HaTanya, the best friend of the Mittler Rebbe, b'haktamasei b'sifro Shar HaYuchad V'emuna, should say Shar HaYuchad V'emuna, I think that was the name of the Strasselier Sefer, Shari HaYichud V'Emunah. Shari HaYichud V'Emunah is the Baal Tanya, but Be'emes he did refer to it also, as the Rebbe points out, as Shari HaYichud V'Emunah. The Masha Higir Rabbeinu Azriel, the Gilo Yachachma B'Doris Achrayinim, Usimcha Lefanav Hashem Yisbarach. That the Baal Shem Tov said, it's a great joy in the eyes of the Rabbanu Shleilim when these ideas are revealed towards the later generations. But Zoysa Simcha Hidafka Bigalus Niglos Achachma Zois Alpidarcha Yichud Vamuna Shigilu Rabbeinu Kedushay Nishmasen begins a reminder via Banu Orav B'nei Almalas Anigbo Lavres Hashem Alpidvar Makadosh Ma'elu. What joy is there in revealing more mathematics? What joy is there is making it more of a quantified system? Elama, the only joy that the Rabbanu Shleilim gets from the Gili of this Chachma is when we understand that Alpidarcha Avoda, when it means something to us, when it means something essential to my experience in this world. This Kasher B'Yichud Yisbarach, to connect myself to the Rabbanu Shleilim, Liachta Kodesh B'Richa V'Shchinte, to unify the Or of Kodesh B'Richa and Shchina, the Kasher Nafsha B'Yichud Yisbarach Lios Metafis Bo'ele Metafis B'Yorid, to connect myself to the Rabbanu Shleilim, to climb upwards and to come back downwards again afterwards. Biskasher Sa'ilamus Elav Yisbarach, to always connect all limitation back to the infinite. Lita B'Libo Yichud Va'afas of Yeroso, to entrench within our hearts his unity and our love and the fear that we have for him. Kivadei Lo Haisa Kavnaso Shel Ari V'Tamida Rav Chaim Vital Zal Shia Dvarim Kevyasim V'Stimasan. Avada, the Arizal was not talking, the Baal Shem Tov was not talking about, oh, if I can learn more Arizal, but Pashtus, that's going to be where the joy is going to come from. Because what's that's going to do for me? Elama, ma mo'il, ma ho'il b'giloize. But in truth, when we come to realize, the depth of the Amunah that emerge out of this, by way of understanding it, by way of Yichud and Amunah, then we can understand the value that comes out of it. And now we understand that what the Taras Chacham was writing in this piece, which we didn't see the inside, is in truth the Shoresh of the Kabbalah, which is coming to teach us that all it is different levels of grasping that which is always ever present in our lives. That there is no scenario, no situation where the light of the Rabbanu Shleilim is absent in even the slightest possible way. The only distinction comes from our perspective of it. And with that, we see how the Rashash and the Taras Chacham begin to be a bridge where every part that we're going to see in the writings of the Arizal is going to be another opportunity to understand the Rabbanu Shleilim in a new way that we haven't understood before. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay. Yeah, please. Okay.